Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, there's ladies. They're around a table. It's not a round table. It's more rectangular. But, I mean, it is radio. It's theater of the mind. So I could be telling you that I'm sitting on a swimming pool lilo right now, and you actually have no idea whether I'm telling the truth or not. By the way, I'm not sitting on a lilo on a swimming pool. I'm doing something far cooler. But you'll never know, will you? Ah. Okay, today's ladies round table features the ridiculously cool Tamron Jardine.
More like a boring mom now.
No, don't say you're a boring mom. And she says it with her arms crossed, like, I'm a boring mom. And I just...
I am.
You're not. You're cool.
All I do is try and catch up on sleep.
It's for the first couple of months. That's really all it is.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
We've also got some very special guests in the building. Let's say what's happening to Simpiwe Mdedwa. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
It's very good to see you. We were driving around earlier together.
You bought me chocolate.
I did buy you chocolate. Yes, this is. I did buy you, chocolate.
You should carry on, hey?
And then Jane, the domestic goddess of CliffCentral.com, she was shouting at me. She said, "You buy other people chocolate. You don't buy me chocolate." Da, 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 da. She came in and she told me she bought chocolate. What is it that brings you to Cliff Central, Simpiwe?
I'm interning at Cliff Central, and I'm hoping to turn my day 7 into like day 31 and day 365.
Fantastic. There you go. Well, we're making a podcast of this, and I'm going to send it straight to gareth@cliffcentral.com as we wrap it up.
You should, hey?
I'm going to. And then let's say what's happening to Felicity Mdluli. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very, very good to have a proper conversation for the first time. I see you running around this office. I think you're the busiest person in the office at the moment.
I am. I really, really am.
What are you getting up to?
Preparing for big things on the 1st of September. Of course, we've got a big launch that's going to be happening. So just running around doing behind the scenes stuff.
That's it. Yes, it's crazy. There's loads and loads of new faces running around the Cliff Central office as we prep for the launch of Touch Central, but it's cool. It's very, very exciting. Producer Kat, you're already wearing a Touch Central t-shirt. That didn't take you 2 seconds.
Yeah, only 20 people, actually 19 plus me, have this t-shirt.
Okay.
Including yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I have. I don't know how to tell everyone though, that the one I got last night is very small. Like, very small.
I've already worn mine, but I can wash it. Mine's a medium.
Oh, so
and
is
I
mine.
Need an Jeez, Ari, what the hell?
Well, I mean.
Ari gyms now, so he's all about his muscles.
But he has, like, chocolate almost every day.
Oh, no, he loves his chocolate. I was about to say, did he buy you chocolate or did he eat the chocolate he bought you?
No, he bought me chocolate and then he got himself chocolate.
Obviously.
All right, so. Luckily, this is not a 30-minute conversation around my bad eating habits, so we have far more important things to discuss. Really, on the Ladies' Roundtable, on the 30th of September, no, August 2016, there is only one thing in this space and time that we could be discussing as a show that prides itself on reflecting the narrative of what South Africans are thinking, and that is what happened at Pretoria Girls High School.
Mm-hmm.
Which was yesterday, with a learner complaining and saying that she's being discriminated against based on her hair. And I see today at the Lawson Brown High School in Port Elizabeth, there's another incident that's been reported with regard to a young black woman and their afros. This school in Port Elizabeth told students that girls with afros are not going to be allowed to write exams. Kind of the same narrative as was sort of put out at the Pretoria Girls High School. So when we start to even let's get opening thoughts as we walk into the conversation. Like, we're walking, like, we're rolling up, we're doing the warm-up to the conversation. Where are we at? Tamron, let's start with you.
So for me, I feel that a lot of white people don't understand black people's hair. So to speak about it, sometimes you need to go and understand it. And schools, it's usually a male man who's the headmaster of a girl's school. He doesn't even understand white girls' hair, let alone black girls' hair. But at the same time, I think that there should be a blanket rule for all schoolgirls. So, for example, with white girls, we're not allowed to dye our hair. And then your hair has to be natural and slick back and clean. And then they have these, like, it's literally, I think the school writes more rules on how your hair should be than on other things that should have more rules in school, like sneaking out that you can do if you're at a boarding school. But... So for me, when it comes to black girls' hair, they don't, teachers don't understand some, if they're not of ethnicity, they don't understand that what braids are, what a weave is, what this is. If you're going to say to a black girl their hair has to be natural, that means that there's no product, there's no treatment, that means you're going to have an afro.
Yes.
So you have to then define a separate rule. Are you going to force young black girls to now relax their hair? Because then now you're going to, if you're going to make them relax your hair, then you must have all the white girls have Brazilians that have curly hair. Mm-hmm. So you've got to figure out whether you want natural or non-natural hair or how you're going to play it. So if it is a girls with afros, maybe then the school should say, if girls are going to have their hair natural, then they need to have a headband and maybe have a, like, tamed or whatever, like have a certain rule of I think you said something about like 5 centimeters.
Yes.
Or like maybe that is something they need to look at, but like you need to figure out rules that apply for both people.
True.
And not be discriminatory towards, because it was, I found at my school they discriminated against white girls because they were too scared to say anything to the black girls. So the black girls would rock up with red, one girl had red braids at school for a whole schooling career and never got into trouble. That's not natural. But when I dyed my hair from blonde to brown, brown to blonde, I used to get into trouble left, right, and center and nearly suspended. I was like, hey, that's not natural.
All right, so we know Tamron Sorts walking in. I don't know Felicity incredibly well, but your face does tell a little bit of a story in terms of what you think about what Tamron's saying. So how are you feeling, Felicity?
Definitely. I don't think a blanket rule will work because our hair doesn't react the same. Our hair is not the same. So you can't have a blanket rule that applies to hair because all our hair acts differently. So if you want to have hair that's slicked back, unfortunately, if you have natural hair, it's not going to slick back. You can have gel, but somebody shouldn't be forced to put gel on their hair just to have it slicked back just because other people's hair does that in an easier way. So that's one thing. Also, another thing is I don't think there should be rules on hair length for afros as well. Like you cannot say to somebody, you're only allowed to grow your hair up to a certain point. First of all, our natural black hair doesn't actually even grow that long. It doesn't grow down to our back. So to try and limit it even more and say it should only be a particular length would actually, for me, be completely wrong. If we're allowed to grow our hair out, then we should allow it to grow out to whatever length it naturally grows in it, for itself. I also think that in terms of color, I do agree. But from my personal experience in schools, I had a situation where I was told, my friends and I were told, that black girls can't have naturally brown hair, which is obviously absolutely false. We can have black to brown hair. Some people have sort of like golden brown tints in their hair naturally. And we were told that we should all dye our hair pitch black. And so I think people need to sort of open up and understand that just because it seems like our hair might all be the same, we're actually quite different. We're all mixed in a different way. Some people are this and that. We all come from different backgrounds, so our hair isn't going to be the same color. We're not all going to have pitch black hair, and that's something that needs to be accepted. So what ends up happening is you find a lot of black girls rebelling and actually using color to actually rebel against the system, because they, like, I started doing it and not caring that I was going to get into trouble because I was getting in trouble for my natural color anyway. So I decided, well, if I'm going to get into trouble for having dark brown hair, I mean, that's not even that crazy. Well, why not just get into trouble for having red hair rather? So I went to the extremes because I was rebelling against the fact that I was told to dye my hair pitch black, and I got into trouble, but I was happy to get into trouble for something that I actually did on purpose rather than getting into trouble for something that was naturally occurring. And so for me, that's just one of the things. And if we're gonna be understanding of black hair, then we'll be understanding of the fact that we all have different hair. I mean, you can include some textures of colored hair that might be more similar to black hair. Some textures of colored hair might be more similar to white hair. There's so many different varieties, and you can't actually just have blanket rules for all those people. Our hair is completely different. What we need to do is stop policing people and stop telling people to look like one particular standard or to follow a particular standard. There's no such thing as afros being unneat. They are neat in within context. So you have to take everything within the context of what you're addressing.
Yeah. Simpiwe?
I think this is very interesting because when I was in high school as well, we went through the same struggle. Our principal told us that you can't have big hair. She went as well to tell us, like, your braids, what kind of size it should be, the colors and what kind of styles you can do in terms of boys and girls. And I think I find it very interesting that I went through this and we didn't say much. We just rebelled against the school, and then we hope that they take it. But now we're seeing this happen as born frees. We're seeing this whole racism still happening, this oppression still happening. So I think it's very interesting that it's happening across boards. It's not just here in Joburg. It's not just here in like the East Rand where I'm from. It's happening everywhere. So we have to look back at what is the system like in high schools, because they keep referring back to the code of conduct. Like, no one reads it. The truth be told, no one reads the code of conduct. I'd never read it.
I did. I knew it off by heart. I can still tell you exactly what I said on the rules.
You that 1%. That 1%.
I know those rules by heart.
No, we're like, oh, this is what the school says. Okay, side. And then, you know, your parents take it back and they're like, this is not allowed. And you're like, oh, I didn't know. Okay, now I know. But in terms of hair, because even in our high school, they went even as further to say they didn't want hoodies because it looked a certain way. And we're like, Mara, why? Why? So I think we just need to look at the school setup and the school structure. Yeah.
If you want to be free at school with your hair, then go to a school that allows your hair to be free. I know, I went to a school
Which
where...
Which school is that?
Crawford. Mm-hmm. You can have free, like, you, those girls are allowed to wear makeup to school. If we rocked into school with, like, we had to have a stupid little white bow ribbon thing tied in our hair. The amount of times I forgot to tie that in my hair and got called into the principal's office because I didn't have that stupid bow in my hair. And all the black girls even had to have it. But then they were more lenient because some girls can tie up their hair. And you're like, that's unfair. If I forgot mine.
But I feel like those types of school are very few and far between. I mean, if you're looking at the masses and you're looking at Pretoria Boys High, you're looking at your schools in the East Rand, you're looking just everyone in particular, majority of us are talking about the same thing. Like, almost every single black person can relate to the fact that I was told that my hair at one point was A, incorrect, or I can't do the style. Mm. So we have to look back at, if the majority is saying this, then how can we change that?
But also, it's a question of that you don't want to choose a school based on its hair policy. You don't want that to be really be a factor.
But
you just want to choose whatever school you want to go to, and then, I mean, this whole thing to me, I mean, I'm surprised that this is only coming to the fore now.
Mm.
Like I was saying yesterday, we had someone on a couple of months ago. She's 17 years old. She's at Roosevelt High. She's the head girl, and she was speaking about the fact that it's just kind of, It's eroding of one's self-esteem as a young woman. I mean, this student at Pretoria Girls High School, she was told by the teachers that the kids can't see past her in the class. They made quite a few like derogatory statements towards her. And as a young woman, like, you're going through puberty as it is, to have that sort of compound the issue.
Well, if someone said they couldn't see past me in class, I'd be like, yo, loser, do you want to sit in front of me then?
Yeah, but it's such an unnecessary...
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
It's in a context of like Barbie dolls and the way people have been raised and definitely what society has said is good and bad. And
Yeah, what I find is wrong is when... what I found was wrong is in schools, I got into trouble constantly because I'm naturally blonde and I hate my hair, natural hair color. So I always dye my hair darker, and I was constantly in trouble for dyeing my hair. And I'm nearly suspended just because of dyeing my hair. My sister as well loved dyeing her hair. So at the same time, white girls do get into a lot of trouble with dyeing their hair. And if our hair isn't in the right way, as much as people like are complaining now based because they're saying it's racism, I think it was unfair that I was forced to have a hair color I hated my whole way through school because it's something I felt ugly with. But my parents signed the school rules and I had to get over it and have the stupid blonde hair until I finished school.
But rules can be changed.
And I think that that's also a different thing. That's you choosing to dye your hair. Me leaving my hair to grow out as it actually comes out of my head. That's not something that I should be fighting for.
I agree with the afro thing. I think that is disgusting when they have issues with that, because I think all you have to do is put the headband on. That's neat.
Yes.
That's very neat. If they want to have a length rule, then you've got to figure out that with the school. I don't know if it's something that you can say or how you're going to... I just know I got irritated at school when they used to measure you, sit down four fingers above the knee was your skirt. Mm-hmm. And they are quite pedantic about that with schools. But my thing is, if they think that a black girl looks okay with a weave, why are they encouraging young girls in schools to have fake hair? That is my issue. Because why should a young girl be forced to have a weave to look like the white girls in the class.
I also think, like, that's the thing, like, black hair is such a contentious issue, whether it is having an afro, whether it's having relaxed hair, whether it's having braids, whether it's having a weave. Because the history of black hair is such a painful history, for a long time, people were made to feel like they were ugly with their natural hair. So having a weave became something, or having relaxed hair became a way to sort of hide your natural hair, and it became something that was standard, something that people sort of used to assimilate to a particular type of standard. Of course, now people do it just as a style, but there's a history behind why it is people felt for such a long time that they only looked good with a weave, and why you find people now trying to reclaim that identity by perhaps not wearing it. And my whole thing is, in as much as I have my natural hair, I would never say to another black girl that you are not a proud black girl because you have a weave or you have relaxed hair. I think because I understand the context within which that whole idea was created in the past, I understand why that now can exist as a choice, a choice where you that you're free to make. And I think if we understand that there is that choice with how you choose to look, then we need to sort of step back and stop policing black women about how they should have their hair, because there's a whole history and it's weighted on so many things. There's a lot of pain associated with it as well. I mean, if you've ever had your hair relaxed, you know how it feels when your scalp is burning. So
there's so many things you are asking. They should get the headmasters to go and get their hair relaxed and just feel what it burns, and let them feel that pain because I've watched this. It stinks. It does. And if that smell, that chemical smell, I can only imagine what your scalp is feeling, because I've smelt it and I was like, oh my gosh, the pain your scalp must be going through, because that smells like if you've smelt like hydrogen peroxide, it smells like you guys are burning your scalp.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and this, yesterday we were having this conversation as well, because it is one of the most imperative conversations to be having right now. And it came to that point in the conversation where we said, well, how do we move forward? In yesterday's conversation, the sort of narrative expanded massively into structural racism. And that is, I think, where this conversation is going to go, and rightfully so, in the next couple of weeks. This is a conversation that started actually at the beginning of the year. This is a conversation that should have been started many, many years ago. But in terms of looking at a solution, or not a solution, but a way to kind of move forward, who are the role players and who are the people that really need to be taking action now to make a change? Is it government? Is it school governing bodies? Is it parents? Is it kids? Is it, where do we sit on that spectrum?
I personally believe that it is the parents, because you have to do what you want to do. I mean, I'm one child that I relaxed my hair until I was 17. So that's all I knew. Like, you go to the saloon, go and relax your hair, and then you plait. So that's the only lifestyle I knew. And after, I think, when I matriculated, when I was 18, then I was like, I tried a weave, and then I was like, I'm not feeling this, let me go natural. And I liked that. But no one forced me. No one said, hey, Simpiwe, you're not fully black because you relax your hair. My family didn't say, it's time for you to stop relaxing, go natural. So I think it's parents that just have to show their kids that it's okay to have untidy, kinky, whatever hair, as long as you are happy with your hair. If you want your hair to be red, cool. I have red braids on because I love the color red, but I'd never dye my hair red. So for me, it's a way of getting what I want without necessarily doing anything else. So I really think it's up to parents to stop looking at the TV and saying, you know, Beyonce looks so pretty with that weave, you should also look like Beyonce, and say, you are beautiful as you are. If you want to try a weave, go ahead. If you want to go natural, go ahead. And then start looking at the structures, schools, and expanding that. Because once you have parents saying, okay, my child's going to do this, it's easier for them to come in and say, this has to change in high school. Because as a pupil, to say, no, ma'am, you're wrong, it's disrespect. But if you bring an adult into it and they say, what you're doing to my child is wrong, it brings another kind of conversation to the table, and they're able to relate, and the conversation can continue
and be more adult. Because children, and I say that these young kids, it's 13 to 18 year olds, they're not at a mature level to be able to have this discussion with a 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old person.
True. And I think it also comes with the attitude, because we start rebelling. If you tell me you can't do that, I'm going to do it. So if an adult comes in with the support of saying, I hear what you're saying, my child. I agree with you. You know, you can have your weave, you can have your braid, you can have your natural. And you take that to the structures before the child. It's easier for them to relate and be like, hey, I've also gone through this. I've also done this. And you don't need to police this. I'll make sure and ensure that my child's hair is neat. I think the biggest thing is defining the term neat.
But wait, these young white girls, this messy bun. That's in fashion. That is revolting.
I think it looks so cute.
But you see what I mean? But we need to define
school.
The
not
term.
Not for school. That is not neat. A school hairstyle.
Not hairstyles. We need to define neat. Because when I have braids on, it's neat. You know? Unless I start, it's been a couple of months now and starts looking a bit old. And then it's a different story.
But that's still not that it's not neat.
Yes, but you see what I mean? We need to define the term neat.
I think, though, that I don't think school governing bodies are going to get this right. I don't think it's going to be a school-by-school basis. I think that at a national level, we're literally going to have to get to a point where you get the right people in a room and you hash it out and you come up with sort of standardized stuff for across the country. Because the problem is, in the context of a governing body or whatever, it comes down to, you know, a couple of people's opinions or whatever it is. And I think something like this does need to be standardized. You look at sort of, you know, in France, there was a ruling on the burkini. The burkini is a Muslim woman's swimming costume, which is a full-length costume. People in France said, we don't want people walking around fully clothed on beaches. And then France had to make a decision and say, no, people are allowed to dress how they want to when they go to swim in line with their religious beliefs. So I don't think that school governing bodies on their own are going to get this right. I think it's going to have to be a national thing. And they're going to have to invite lots of people into the conversation, because certainly everyone on social media is speaking about this. And someone's got to kind of guide that narrative to say that at the end of the day, this is what we think as a country neat in a context of a school is. Because to leave it up to the parent teacher association, whatever, I don't think you're going to really accurately be able to get everybody's voices. And you need people to dedicate their time to, you know, doing this. Yeah. People that are in governing bodies and teachers and that, let them focus on the education. Let them focus on the whatever side of things. Let them do their jobs outside of, you know, coming up with stuff that people are not going to agree with or people are going to agree with. That was my suggestion. Yeah.
Also, it goes beyond school level, because I remember I was working at a particular place, and when I met with the agency, like, you know, you have those follow-up meetings, they were like, oh my goodness, have you been going to work like that with your hair up like that? I was like, yeah, my Afro kind of doesn't lie down. And it's just one of those things that we need to realize that it actually goes beyond school. In the workplace, you do get a lot of people commenting about Afros. Exactly. Even the Duke situation was the same thing. And it's just like, I don't understand why African people are explaining themselves in Africa. Yes. I still don't get it. If we want to wear dukes, we're going to wear them. If we want to have afros, we're going to have them. If we want dreadlocks. Yes. I mean, there was a case, I think, a number of years ago where a young boy was, they didn't want to allow him into a school. He was going into grade one. They wouldn't allow him into the school because he had dreadlocks, and they were for religious reasons. He was Rastafarian, and they would not allow him in the school, and it made it to the papers. And it's like, we shouldn't be having these conversations. People shouldn't be having to explain their African cultures, their religions, whatever it may be, while they are still here in Africa. Those codes of conducts were not written with black people's hair in mind. So we need to rewrite a lot of things so that it can take into consideration the black experience.
Rules can change.
We got to get...
But at the same time, just look at Ari. I'm sure he went to school and your school had rules and regulations with how your hair had to be. I do know that with guys, their hair had to be above the ears or something. There was some stupid rule about like a finger above.
Well, you couldn't have a beard. I was at a Jewish day school, and Jewish day schools, you get involved and then the mother gets crazy. So the rules weren't that well enforced at the Jewish day school, because the Jewish mother will say, no, but it's my son, he wants the hair grown out. So we had huge issues with it. And that's why even yesterday I was saying, like, I actually, because there's been a lot of stuff around John Robbie weighing in on this and whether he was allowed to or not. And I don't, I mean, my sort of knowledge of you know, young black women's hair and so on and so forth, and even my context having gone to a Jewish day school, is like, there's no ways that I can begin to even think that I have you know, an opinion on this outside of that my opinion really on the whole thing is that, you know, when you're young, you want as many things to enable a positive self-image as possible.
Yes.
And if anything is going to drag that down, then you got to get rid of that, because puberty and pimples sucks so much that if you're going to add anything else, whether it's what your hair looks like or whatever, like naturally that mix is so difficult. So don't add stuff on top of that.
Being a mom, my daughter must follow the rules.
Listen, it's important to have rules
but
in a school setting.
But the rules need to respect her in terms of
her,
like,
culture.
Her culture.
Yeah, and just naturally who she is.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get closing lines on this. And this is a conversation that's going to continue and will continue for a very, very long time as the world tries to figure out why it's so dumb. Tamron?
I agree with everyone to a certain extent. I think that people should be allowed to express themselves within reason at school. I think young black women especially, should embrace their natural hair. I think it's the most beautiful thing ever, but that's coming from a person who didn't embrace her natural hair because I didn't like my hair color. But at the same time, I do see why that I look at the school and I look at the fact that it's usually older people that don't understand young people and especially ethnic hair. So I feel really sorry for these young girls. But for me, it's more about what they're saying to the young girls, not just about their hair.
I would have to say that, dear young black girl, fall in love with yourself first. We can't wait on government to do things. We can't wait for the schools to change the code of conduct. You need to fall in love with all of you. Your hair, your skin, fall in love with that dog, fall in love with that mirror, and love who's in front of you, because once you do that, no one can stop you. So that's what I gotta say.
Power.
Once again, I feel like Africans should not have to explain themselves in Africa. I think we should be at a point now, 2016, where people understand certain parts of how we are, so how we live, our culture, the things that we do, the things that come natural to us. And I would say I've seen this, and it's a painful experience. I've seen this with my niece at 3 years old, crying, looking at adverts, asking why she doesn't have straight hair, why she isn't as light as this person. And so it comes from a really deep place, whether it's the images that we see in the media, the messaging that we get from people around us every day. So I would say, young black person, you don't owe anybody an afro, you don't owe anyone a weave, you don't owe anybody braids, you don't owe anybody proper English. Do you live, as Simpiwe said, love yourself and do you.
Yo, that is so powerful what you just said.
Yeah.
Just sorry, quickly, Ari, it is exactly what you're saying about how young girls, we see it in the media. When I just gave birth, I was so upset because I had a C-section and I was planning on natural. But when I look at everyone who went for a planned C-section, they have hair and makeup done, and I was so upset that I didn't look good because my photos weren't like their photos. And that's something so simple, but these young girls are being forced to want to be like Beyonce when they shouldn't. And that was just a small experience. I should have just enjoyed the fact that my daughter came out alive instead of what I looked like.
Mm-hmm.
We put our priorities in all the wrong places, and unfortunately the media plays a massive part in, you know, promoting images of what we should be or shouldn't be. And society, we actually do this to ourselves until we stop every now and then, like we occasionally seem to do on social media these days, and say, no, that's not going to fly, or this is how I feel about that. This has been a very cool conversation. Thank you very much. That there is a today's Ladies Roundtable featuring Tamron Jardine, Felicity Mdluli, and of course Simpiwe Mtetwa. Thank you, ladies, very much for stopping by.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. When you're a CIO in a growing corporate, there's no just taking care of yourself and that's that. When you're a CIO, people see IT as a cost rather than a strategic investment. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that food is on other people's plates because of your job. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products, and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business, a new world of business.
How to start your great with Kellogg's and the Kelman 20.
Don't procrastinate. Do what you want to do and do it now.
Be as good as you can, but they can't actually ignore you.
Run your own race and stop comparing yourself to other people.
On your own pace, your own race, your own lane.
Love yourself enough to work on yourself and be honest with yourself. The main thing is action every single day. Small attainable goals that will get you in the right direction.
Hashtag start your great.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.